Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We get our hearts and minds ready. Say, God is good. Say, God is good. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you know all good things come from the Father, do they not?
Yes.
When God wants to give you a gift, it's going to be a good gift. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
I tell you, when God wants to, when God shows up and says, I want to give you something, you ought to get excited. Because he doesn't give cheap gifts. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
He doesn't give stingy gifts. He doesn't give outdated gifts. He doesn't give unrelated gifts. He doesn't give gifts that are so not relevant to you in your life. No, he knows where you're at, what you need at that moment. What we have to realize is that God is so awesome that right in the journey, of in the rhythm, right in that rhythm and that journey of who you are, where you're at, the questions you have at this moment, the problems you deal with today, the hurts that you might be trying to get over, whatever it might be where you are in the rhythm of life, God knows exactly where you're at. And how many people know that a perfect gift is just not something that is of value, but something that's timely? God has a way when he's walking with you to provide for you what you need at this moment. What do you need at this moment? What do you need at this moment? Well, God, I need a healing at this moment. God, I need some direction at this moment. God, I need a better job at this moment. God, I need some peace. I'm all messed up emotionally. God, I need some comfort. I'm not feeling good about myself today. God, what do you need in the moment of the rhythms of life? Because what hurts us in the rhythm of life is when we look at even the situation of Christmas and we begin to detail and describe the things of Christmas or the things of God or the church world in a sense of a historical 2,000-year-ago event of a baby being born, and though as miraculous as it is as a virgin birth who came through a baby coming through a virgin and the birth of the Messiah and the salvation available to all mankind, if we're not careful, we will look at this like an event in history and we'll lose out the sense that God is with us. And Emmanuel means God with us. Say with me, God is with us. Come on, I'm going to work you this morning. Say, God is with us. Say, God
is with me.
Now, this might not make sense to all the people. Why don't you lift a hand and just say, thank you, Father, for being with me today. Thank you, Father God, for your presence today. I'm telling you, the amazing becomes common. We look over and we miss out on all the details of it. I think I'd have been, if God would have put God could be with me, I'd woke up every day and say, I wonder if it's today's the day. Blown away, God could be with me today, but no, God is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. He's alongside us. And when he gives presents, when he gives gifts, those aren't, he doesn't reward with nickels. He rewards big time. God's a big giver. He's generous. Stick with me. And what we do sometimes is we look at the things that God brings into our lives and we don't recognize them and we put them on the shelf, never benefiting us because we don't realize what God's doing. God is with us. Do you know God is everywhere? That's part of his nature. It's part of his characteristic. God is everywhere, right? We can all agree with that. David said, where can I go that you aren't there? God is everywhere. But God does not reveal himself everywhere. God does not manifest his presence everywhere. Have you ever gone to a place and say, man, I'm just feeling grieved about this place. I need to get out of it. God's not in the house.
Right.
You can go to some churches, and God, just because it's a church doesn't mean God's there. Did you hear me? God does not reveal himself everywhere. That's why I believe in Ephesians. It says, redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunities. Look for the moments. Just not on a practical thing in the business world or the opportunities of relationships or opportunities for ministries, but be open to the opportunities of God. What if we lived in a rhythm of our walk with God where we're open to the rhythm, open to the moments of God? Because many of us will spend time praying for something that God's been trying to get to us for years. And our problem is we don't recognize the gift given. I referred last week in this concept that as a young boy going to my grandma's house for Christmas and all the cousins, and you got a lot of presents. It didn't mean you got a lot of presents, that there was just a lot of presents because there's just a lot of people. And if you see a lot of presents, you can't find which one's yours. You end up with nothing. And a lot of times we get so caught up with the clutter of stuff around us, we can't identify what God has for us. And when you don't understand what God has for you, you can't even open it to benefit from it. God with us. in the rhythm of my life, in the walk of my daily routine, in the journey of who I am, God can give me just not one gift, a rhythm of giving where he is opening into my life things that I might, that might seem minor to somebody else. Have you ever had one of those minor miracles, those minor blessings? That person just happened to say the right word to encourage you that day. God just happened to work that situation out where it was a smooth process, whatever it might be. Sometimes even the minor details. Jesus said to your Heavenly Father that there's not even a sparrow, not a little bird that doesn't fall from its nest that he doesn't notice. How much more important are you to him? Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Again, that's easy for some of you, but some of us, that's not. But the fact doesn't change. You are important to God. And he wants, he's the giver of all good things. And in the rhythm of life, if we're not careful, we'll take the concept of what Jesus did in Christmas and say that was 2,000 years ago. Great. And we'll lose the relevance of what it affects for you and me today. God is with me today. He's with me. And he begins to give gifts. He creates moments of opportunity, moments in our lives that if we can learn how to respond correctly in that moment, there's such great things available to us. Many of us just have the mindset, we talked last week, if we're not careful, we'll live in the land of the obvious when it comes to the revelation of God. We'll draw from the fruit that hangs low from the tree instead of being able to reach higher and go higher into the things that God has for us. We'll just take what seems to be obvious and we'll miss out because God will bring an opportunity. And we'll think, well, if God wants me to have it, why didn't he just force me to have it? Why didn't he just drop it in my lap? And if God worked that way, we'd all have everything we've ever prayed for. We'd have everything he promised. But he just doesn't drop it in our lap. Have you noticed that? But why, God? Have you ever asked God why? Why, Lord? Why don't you just make it all happen? Make it, make me just make my life what I think should be a perfect life and give me everything I want. Sometimes we get all messed up if we don't understand the process. And one of the things you have to understand is that it's not wrong to ask God for things. Just tell him I'll be back with him later on. Can't talk now, I'm preaching. I'll be back with him. All right, now that caused me to tell a funny joke. Now I got to tell a story. Besides, put your phone on vibrate because it reminds me of things. My wife and I were at a place. I'm going to tell a story on her. And she had got this ringer. I don't know if you ever heard it. And it was when someone left her a message. And it would start off and it would be a guy going, message. Have you heard this? If you didn't answer, it'd go, message. Every time it got a little louder and crazier, message. And by time, you know, I mean, it keeps building. I think it goes like 20 different times. And it gets to the place of, message! So we're in a place that you couldn't, it was in her purse, you know, you can't find it, and we're in this quiet place, and I'm like, answer the phone, and it's got to go away. I said, just get louder, answer the phone, just turn. Everybody's wondering who it is. I said, just find it. Message! Now you're wondering, how am I going to turn this thing around? But have you ever wondered if God is walking with us and screaming, I have something for you? That's what you call grace right there. We don't hear, and if we don't hear, we don't respond. Oh, let's look at a scripture. That's a good idea. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. You know something I just noticed for the first time? Jesus didn't say, if anybody hears the knock. He said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. But then he goes on to say, if any man hears my voice. So when he's knocking, he must be saying something. I've never put that together until just the second. If any man hear my voice, because we won't open to just anybody knocking. Have you ever done that? You only open when you hear, when you recognize the voice of the person on the other side. And he can be saying something. If we don't recognize him, we won't open up to the invitation. He goes on to say, if any man hear, or any person hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. If you're taking notes, write this down. God's demonstrations are his invitations to something greater. God's demonstrations are his invitations to something greater. God's demonstrations are his invitation to something greater. What am I talking about? God begins to demonstrate his power. It could, let's just for argument's sake, let's say in a service, people get healed. In a service, signs and wonders. In a service, miracles. In a service, salvations. In a service, people's hearts being touched by God. Whatever it might be. Fill in the blank on how you define that. When God begins to demonstrate his power, it's just not the end at that moment. Hear me now. Because I believe that this series is so pivotal, so relative to even us corporately. Because we have seen God graciously honor us by bringing his presence and demonstrating his power. We have seen people get healed and people get saved, and we've seen the miraculous. I shared last week, just a few weeks ago, while we were praying for people and God healing, a grandma came up and walked to the front after we were done praying for people, and I asked her what's going on, and she said, I've been in pain for 7 to 8 years. I've walked with a cane, and she goes, as I was just sitting in my chair back there, I felt a hand touch my heart, and all of a sudden the pain went away. God is healing. God is delivering. God is saving. But if we're not careful, we'll stop at this point. I want you to see this, because this is just not personal. This is corporate. This is just not for you, and this is for you individually, because the goal of this is for us, as we understand the principles and truths that we're talking about over this series, that when someone begins to experience God, that you will be able to recognize God is in the house. Because when his gifts are being given, the giver of the gifts is in the house. Say, God's in the house. And when God's in the house, he's doing it just not for the healing, and he wants people healed. But he also wants his people to know he's there. And God wants so badly for you to know him. He wants to know, do you get him? Do you recognize his voice? Do you recognize him in a way that you'll respond so that he can take you to something greater? It's just not for a few. Anytime we leave a service, and I've been guilty of this in my own life, anytime it comes to the salvation call or ministry time, you're like, man, I got to get out of here. I got things to do. And you both, you know what you're saying? You're saying, I don't recognize what God's doing. And not out of that you're a bad person. It's just that we don't realize that the demonstrations of God are a sign that he's here. So you can say the demonstrations are an invitation that he has something greater for you. I'm telling you where we're going, church. You can't just take it by what you see. God's blessed us. We do 3 services. But I'm telling you, the demonstration of God's power, we stop. If we're not careful, we'll stop at the miracle. We'll stop at the healing. And when we stop there, we don't go any farther. And when you don't go any farther, you become stuck. You get in a rut. And that which was special becomes common. And then you lose the sensitivity to it. And as a result, you literally lose the gifts. Catch this. I bet if you study church revivals in history, you'll notice one thing, that when the revival waned down, when the revival started diminishing, when the revival came to an end, that the heart of the people, not that they were bad, began to where they begin just to look at the gifts. And all of a sudden, the gifts were like so amazing. After a while, the gifts were just there, and then the gifts were no longer there because they lost sight. That it's not about just the gifts. And God doesn't mind you wanting things from him. Okay? There's a balance to everything. God, when I buy my daughter something for Christmas, I want to see her face when she opens it. I want her to open it. The only time I don't want her or somebody that I buy a gift to open it in front of me is when I know it's really not a good gift and I don't want to see their disappointment. right? You know what I mean? I really didn't put my heart in it and didn't, you know what I mean? It was just kind of convenient, and I know they're probably won't even like it. So, well, here's a gift. I was thinking about you. Open it a couple days after I leave, right? But when I've got my heart into it, when I know it's a great gift, they're going to be excited about it. I want to see them open it. Your Heavenly Father wants you to open it. That's why it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. God loves giving his children stuff. Amen. You say, well, won't that make me greedy? Only if you keep it all. Only if you get in the mindset it's just about you. But if you're like your Heavenly Father and you have the heart of your Father, freely you receive, you freely you're going to give. You're going to be, wow, God, thank you for that blessing. I was expecting that sale or that big tip or that commission. What do you want me to do with it, Jesus? Well, you're going to come across somebody whose faith is not at the level to receive yet, and they're still at the level of needing someone just to give it to them. So I'm going to bring them into your path so you can be a blessing to them. Okay, that's kind of cool. Oh, yeah, that went over real well. See, you clap louder when you're talking about Jesus giving you a raise, but when you got talking about you giving to somebody else, you're like, yeah. When's this ending? Your Father doesn't mind you wanting things from him because he knows you're not going to keep it just to yourself. But something greater than the gift given is the giver of the gift. And when you begin to recognize who's knocking on the other side of that door, when you begin to recognize his voice, when you begin to recognize the givers in the house, that there's something greater than any gift could be given. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to your pastor? Something greater than, and praise God for healings. We believe in them. We see them. Praise God for miracles. Praise God for deliverances. Praise God for blessings. We believe in all. I believe in that. We see that. But you got to see the balance to this. When you begin to understand and walk according to the Word of God, you're going to get to a place where you begin to recognize that as amazing as the gifts are, there's nothing that can compare to the giver of the gifts. And I'm not saying that to get an applause. I'm not saying that for an affirmation. I'm not saying because it sounds good in the church. I'm saying that this is such a reality. David cried out and said, Lord, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you. As a nation without water thirsts for water, so I thirst for you. David understood. Moses said, God, I know you brought us out of the bondage. You brought us out of slavery. You've destroyed our enemies. But God, the promised land's there. But if you don't go, I'm not going to go. Can you imagine the greatest part of your life, your destiny, the miracle, the promise of everything that God's promised you, and it'd be right at the doorstep. And God said, go ahead and go. It's yours. What kind of a heart do we have to say, okay, God, and then we stop and say, but wait a minute. I want to make sure. Are you going with me? No, you go. I'm going to wait here. I'm going to send an angel with you. And you say, you know what? Oh, that promised land is everything you've said it was, Jesus. Oh, that blessing, that new job, that relationship, that marriage, that miracle, all those are, it is so amazing. I'm so close. But you know what? If you don't go, Jesus, I'm going to stand here and wait for you. You don't do that. You might do that in the idea, say, that's such a cool idea. But you won't do that in the rhythm of life until you realize how awesome the reality of God is. And religion has beat this out of the church. If you're a guest, I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. It's become legalistic, man-controlled. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. And I believe that if God is real, and he is, and if he can do anything, and he can, that he can make himself real to you. And what we have to understand is the presence of God is more than a cloud, more than a goosebump, more than a good feeling. He's a real person. The presence of God is real. And when he begins to demonstrate his power, that tells you he's in the house. And his demonstration is your invitation to something greater. We're going somewhere, church. And where God's taking this church, it's just not because it's one church. I'm telling you, it's going to happen throughout the world where God's taking his body. Because the church is the body of Christ. But are you listening to me? It's another reason, because as we learn this, as we develop this, we'll know how to respond to the giver of the gifts so that you can experience the greatness and the greater that he has for you. Because it can't all be pastors laying his hands on you. If God showed up or sent an angel, he said, I'm Gabriel, and everyone pastor lays his hands on is going to get $10,000 miraculously in their bank account. Can you imagine how long it would take to pray for with three services, right? If God said, I'm going to bless everybody, I'm going to heal everybody, can you imagine how long it would take to pray for every person? Catch this. And that's just at this level. And we're not going to stay at this level. What if there was 1,000 seats? What if there was 3,500 seats? What if it was 10,000 people under one roof? And God said, I'm here, and I'm going to begin to do great things in front of your eyes. If we don't know how to respond, we'll depend on a person, and you will wear out the people. History has shown when God began to do great things, people begin to look toward the person God was using, and they literally wore out the ministers of God. Because the greatness of God, the treasure of God, is in earthen vessels. What am I telling you? God's bringing us to a place corporately that when God begins to do great things right in our and before our eyes, it won't be just pastor's got to pray for me or sister so-and-so's got to pray for me. We'll recognize God's in the house, and we'll learn how to respond, begin to open up what God has so that there's a greater thing for us. Let's go ahead and look at that verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Notice this. This is what's pleasing him. Approach him with faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Say that he is. Say that he is. Oh, I love that, because it takes me back to the time when Moses was standing before the burning bush. Can you imagine? I wonder if anybody was near earshot. A man's talking to a bush on fire. Come on, in the natural, that you got to think. You got to read the Bible as a newspaper. Here's a big bush on fire, big enough to catch Moses' attention. Moses said, I see something that doesn't look right because it's not being consumed. And he turns toward the bush to figure this out. His curiosity wanting to go deeper into what he was seeing. See, if you don't have a curiosity to go deeper beyond what you just see in the natural, you'll miss out on the supernatural. If you're not willing to say, God, I think there's something to what you're doing. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to begin to dig deeper. I'm going to begin to pursue farther. And so Moses began to have a conversation with the burning bush. And God began to speak. And at that time, God begins to tell Moses what his assignment was. I want you to go back. I want you to begin to say this. And Moses asked a very interesting question. God, who should I say is sending me? You say, why didn't you just go back and say, God? You understand that in that time, they didn't identify God by name. They, even in their transcripts, when they refer to God, they leave it blank. So Moses was asking a very deep, theological, difficult question. Give me a name. Because we're identified by name. Throughout the Old Testament, God would reveal part of his characteristics by giving them a name. He would do something and then attach it to a name. Here's provision. Now you'll know me as Jehovah Jireh. That's why you see throughout Jehovah Shalom, he's peace. Jehovah Shema, he's ever present. Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Rophi. And these names keep going on because God kept showing he wanted his people to know him and what he could do. Those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. He wants to know if we know him for who he is and what he can do. Tell me, God, who's sending me? Give me your name. See, he coughed and made me cough. And God said, tell him I am. You are what? Yes. You ever watch the who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. He's on third? You have no idea. No one had watched Evan Costello back in the day, right? It wasn't a game. He wasn't doing a play. I like to think of it this way. It was like a fill in the blank. I hated fill in the blanks in school when I take tests. Remember those? I always liked the multiple choice because at least if I didn't know, I had a good shot of guessing. Yeah. You're right? You get an A, B, C, or D. You know? And then they always do, one of the answers would be A and B. That throws me off. More A than C. Well, don't do that to me, right? None of the above. Now they're really ticking me off, right? Multiple choice. I had a good chance even if I didn't know. Fill in the blank, you couldn't fake it. Right? You had to know. And the cool thing about that is I believe God wants us to know. He's not trying to fake it. He's letting you know. I am. Fill in the blank. What should I put in there? What do you need? God's so awesome. He wants you to know that he's the answer to every question. He's the resolve to every problem. He's the healing for every sickness. He's the provision for every financial need. He is everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and all between. You cannot get around. He is everything. And when you begin to see him for who he is, when you begin to see who he is, we'll be amazed how little our prayers have been answered because they've been so insignificant on who he is. Come on. What kind of father would you be to have millions sitting at your side and all your child is willing to ask you for is a nickel? Come on. You asking me for a nickel, don't you know who I am? Woo! Don't you know I'm your daddy? Don't you know what I have? Don't you know my heart? All you have to say is, Daddy, I need this, but I'll take more than I need. Because he's more than enough. He's more. Ask me to take the pain away. Don't you know who I am? I'm your daddy. I can not only stop the pain, I can take the sickness away, and I can restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm has eaten up out of your life. He just wants to know, do you know who he is? Thank you, Jesus. He that cometh, God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, my goodness. Don't you know who he is? Jesus, can I have a nickel? The limitation of our prayer identifies the lacking of our understanding of who he is. Yeah, but I don't want to be greedy. Greed's not based on what you ask for. Greed is based on what you keep. Would it be greedy to ask for $1 million if you gave it all away? No, now you're a philanthropist. Now you're benevolent. Now you're generous. Greed's not based on what the level of your request is. Greed isn't based on when he answers what you're willing to keep and what you're willing to share. Oh, my God. The devil's convinced us in the church world that it's greedy to ask for big prayers. And he has weakened our power because God can't answer prayer that's not aligned with his character, who he is. If he did a stingy answer, it would go down in the records of eternity that he's not generous. And he's a generous God. Why don't you begin praying for generous prayers? Man, this is so different than the first service and so off my notes, but that's okay. And when God begins to do great things, back to our story, can you imagine? If we had 10,000 people, 5,000 people, 3,000, whatever you put in your imagination, under one roof, and all of a sudden God began to do something great. And instead of you wrecking my physical life because I'm exhausted from all the fatigue of trying to pray for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10,000 people at one time, people begin to say, I recognize his presence. And I'm going to begin to respond so that I can receive the greater. And the part of that, and we're out of time, so I'm just going to give you a reference. You studied on your own. Here's a homework assignment. Hey, we haven't done that in a long time. If you're taking notes, write this down. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. And Luke's Gospel chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I want you to begin to read those in your own time and look for similarities. For here's two people experiencing God. Different times, different people. And the way they responded was a key element for them to get the greater, to open the door, to open the package, whatever you want to use. Revelation says, I'm at the door knocking. We're talking about opening the door. This year, we're talking about the perfect gift, so you can say opening the present. Whatever you want to use in your imagination. But how do we respond so that we can experience the greater? If not, we'll stop with the great. And we'll get so comfortable with the great that we'll start thinking it's common. And then we'll even lose the great and miss out on the greater that's ahead. Because with Jesus, he's got still so much in store for you. If you begin to recognize him and respond according to his word. It wasn't until Samuel learned how to respond that God began to speak. Because God began just to give the invitation, Samuel, Samuel. But he learned how to respond. And they began to hear what God was saying. It wasn't until Mary understood the process that all of a sudden God, the angel, could leave with the message had been sent. So when we learn how to respond, we'll get more into that in the weeks ahead. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. If you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. If God is real, and he is, and if he can do anything, and he can, then he can make himself real to you in a way right now, in the way you understand, the way you think, the way you process, the way you feel, the way you experience, that you will know without any question, without any shadow of doubt, that Jesus is real, and number two, that he's your personal Lord and Savior. That's why I believe salvation is one of the greatest miracles, because it's just not conforming to the ideas of somebody, even though they might be good ideas, even though those ideas might improve your life. That's not salvation. Salvation is transformation. It's being spiritually dead and becoming spiritually alive. There's a power being demonstrated in someone's life that you might not fully be able to explain, but you know the benefits. You know, you begin to can share what God's doing. Hey, he's alive in my life. I know him. I have a relationship with Jesus. And out of that relationship comes all the goodness of God. It's the greatest relationship you'll ever have. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a few seconds. If you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want Jesus to make himself real to me. I want to know him for myself. I don't want to just attend a church. I just don't want to know the good and the bad. I want to know Jesus for myself. I want him to make, it's not anything you can do, it's what he does. It's a matter of you receiving that. So if you'd like for me to include you in that prayer, no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want Jesus to make himself real to me. And I'll receive him as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, at the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and look me in the eyes. One, two, three. Pastor, include me in that prayer. Who am I talking to? I see the hand. Thank you. I see the hand. I see the hand. I see the hand. I see the hand. God bless you. I see the hand. Anybody else before we pray? To my right, I see the hand. God bless you, sir. I see the hand. God bless you, man. Anybody else before we pray? I want Jesus to make himself real to me. I see the hand on the left. God bless you, man. You can put your hand down. I want Jesus to be real. Maybe you used to have a walk with God, a relationship with the Lord, but for whatever reason, you've allowed things to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. You know you're not in the right place. Anytime someone refers to, we're coming to the end of this thing, you kind of grin, just say, I hope not. I know I'm not right. If that's you, and you would like for us to include you in that prayer, just lift your hands, one, two, three. Pastor, that's me too. I see the hand, thank you, sir. I see the hand in the back right, God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's all pray this prayer together. If you raise your hands, believe it in your heart, say with me, church, join us. Say, God, I come to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness today. I receive that relationship today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. God bless you.